Boss Man Show with new head coach, Utah Austin Mavericks of the Sun Belt Conference. Greg Young, coach, good to talk to you. I love the colors, man. How you doing, man?
We're doing great. It's thanks for having me on, number one. Appreciate it. Excited. It's been a whirlwind. This is day, I'm looking at my calendar. This is day 11 of the job for me. I'm counting the days, and it seems like it's still day one. So it's been a whirlwind. It's exciting. I'm humbled. I'm honored. I'm blessed. I get to be the head coach at a place that I call home. I've been here 12 years. It's the longest place I've ever been as a coach. So it's exciting for sure. Got a lot of work to do, but I'm excited.
Yes, indeed, coach. And I'm asking you this, man, being there as long as you have, you get this head coaching job, man, what's it feel? How you make you feel? The administration said, Coach Young, we believe in you. You've been here 12 years, 2009. Now we want you to release program forward here to our next phase here. I'm telling you, coach, you're in a great spot. Austin, Texas is in a great spot. The stadium you guys got out there for Texas Rangers and the Cowboys, and then you guys, man, great town. You're going to tell us about all that good stuff, man.
Well, I Arlington is a great place. I mean, it is, you know, I really believe that we live in one of the best places in the country. Atlanta is too. I get it. There's other good places. But with all the things that we have here in Arlington, you got the Dallas Cowboys, you got the Rangers, we got the entertainment district in Six Flags. We've got a beautiful, urban, diverse university here at UT Arlington with over 35,000 undergraduate students. We've got beautiful facilities. We've got great high school coaches, players, grassroots coaches, players, programs, junior college coaches, players, programs within the state of Texas. So, you know, we do live in a great place for college athletics, for college basketball, and specifically here at UT Arlington. And we've got to do a good job to cultivate that. Not that we haven't. We've always done a good job of recruiting inside out and making sure that we did our part. But, you know, with the urban university, we do have a diverse university where we can recruit all over the world. We can recruit all over the country. We've had good players from all over the United States, good players from all over the world, and we got to continue to do that. Obviously, being in Texas, we got to do our due diligence in the state of Texas, first and foremost. But you know, if you look at our rosters over the years, we've had good players from everywhere. And so we're going to continue to try to do that. That's what we're doing right now. We're doing Zoom virtual visits with players. And it's I feel like I'm on Tinder. You know, you're going from one to the next because you can't have them on campus. You can't. I don't know what Tinder is. I've been married 25 years. That's what our young guys tell me what it is. But we're going from one to the next because you're trying to build these relationships. Yes. With prospective student athletes that you're recruiting. Everything is done virtually. And it's now you got this transfer portal that has added this extra dynamic to recruiting. And so everybody in Division I basketball is doing the same thing, is we're trying to recruit virtually. It's different. It is what it is. And we're trying to do as good a job as we can with it, but it is different for sure.
Well, June 1st coming up soon, coach. You can get out there. Again, it's June 1st. And hopefully you will go be at the Peace Jam in Lake Point when that gets going. Hopefully see you there. Look at some good high school young men out there. Hey, you guys that is here in Georgia, because as people know, you all play Georgia State because you're in the Sun Belt Conference with Georgia State. So you see Southern as well. So, you know, you definitely come this way. I saw South Alabama as well. So it's like, you know, coming to Atlanta and hey, that's a good market for you guys because you play here at least twice a year with Statesboro and Georgia State. Players come home to Georgia at least once a year. So tell us about that part of it. Sun Belt Conference has been so expansive for you guys to recruit from all over the place and get in different markets because of how the conference is set up, from Appalachian all the way to you guys. It's far out there for you guys, man.
It is. The Sun Belt Conference is really good, and I've been a part of it, obviously, for the last, I think, 7 or 8 years. Obviously, I was here when we made the transition to the Sun Belt. Have great respect for our coaches, for the coaches, the players, the programs in the Sun Belt. There are no easy games. I can just say that there are no easy games in the Sun Belt Conference. And it, And it's not saying that there are no easy games in any league, but my experience in the Sun Belt compared to where we were in the Southland previously, we were in the WAC 1 year. The Sun Belt, from a competitive standpoint, night in, night out, there just are no easy games. And obviously, Georgia State's had success. They had success with Ron Hunter. We lost to them twice in conference championship games. You know, we won a regular season conference championship here in 2018 in the Sun Belt. But it's just, there's good players, there's good coaches, the ultimate respect for the league. But it does, you know, it does allow us to recruit, you know, some of those areas, especially places that we play, because there is a familiarity with the league and the kids that we're recruiting that are from those areas. And, you know, everybody wants to have friends and family watch them play, for sure. And we've had some good players, you know, from those areas and the places in the league. And so we're going to continue to do that. But the Sun Belt Conference is hard. It's hard. We had a unique year this year that we played an East-West division schedule. We did not go east. So we didn't play South Alabama and Troy and Georgia State and Georgia Southern and Coastal Carolina and Appalachian State in the regular season. We played on our own West division, which was Louisiana Monroe, Lafayette, Arkansas Little Rock, Arkansas State, obviously Texas State, which was our travel partner. So it was a unique year in the Sun Belt for us because we didn't get to play those people in the East. I miss going to Statesboro. I miss being in Atlanta. I miss going to, you know, to Mobile and some of those places. I didn't necessarily miss the game sometimes with those teams, but because they're hard places to play. But I think obviously we're going to get back to a normal schedule next year and look forward to playing those teams in the East again.
And Coach, being in Texas, so many quality D1 schools in Texas. So how is the recruiting battles for you guys amongst each other? Because there's so many quality D1 schools in Texas and so many different conferences. So how is that recruiting battle within the state that you guys are going against every day?
And that's a great question, because everybody now seems to recruit Texas from all over the country. And they're, you know, obviously we're a big state, a lot of players. You know, not only are you battling in recruiting people within state who, you know, we normally battle with anyway, now you're battling universities from all over the country within your own league, but different conferences. So, you know, you have to work. You can't take it for granted, because, you know, people are coming in from everywhere to recruit the state of Texas. There's so many good players here. The coaching has gotten so much better. The grassroots organizations, the events that happen within the state of Texas have expanded through the year. So, you know, obviously not that Texas is the only place, but it's become a place where it's become a hotbed for college basketball recruiting. So there's a lot of people, you know, dipping their hands in and trying to get a piece of Texas recruiting. And we have to work that much harder to try to keep them at home. You know, some kids, whether it's in Texas or wherever, they want to get away from home. And we have to figure that out. Some kids want to stay close to home. So some kids get away from home and then they come back. And that's where the portal comes into play. So, but, you know, it's recruiting is hard. It's not an exact science, but we are blessed to be in a place where there are a lot of good players, a lot of good coaches, for sure.
And Coach Meskis, man, what's the ideal UTA Maverick for you and your program as you build this program going forward? Because I know you want to have quality in many of your programs. Tell us, what's kind of your ideal UTA Maverick?
Well, you know, the success we've had here in the past, which, you know, shouldn't be underestimated. Scott Cross had a lot, you know, obviously was the orchestrator of that, who's now the head coach at Troy, who I got to work with for 8-9 years. And, you know, we sort of developed an idea of what we wanted within our program. Everybody has that idea and intangibles and what kind of guy you want. Obviously, you know, you got to have the skill and the talent to be able to be productive at the Division One level in the Sun Belt Conference. But, you know, we want guys that play with a motor, a high motor, that are going to play hard, that have a little bit of grit and toughness to them, that have those intangible things first and foremost. And obviously, you know, young men that fit our institution, you know, and what we do academically and things like that. But, you know, the first intangible we're going to look at as coaches and our staff's going to look at is, do they play hard? If they don't play hard, or we have a perception that they don't play hard, then we're probably going to move on a little bit. And I know every coach sort of says that, but it is a talent to play hard. And so we have to try to, figure out, okay, does he play hard? And does he not look like he's playing hard? Is he playing hard within who he is as a player? But we want to try to find those gritty, tough guys that are going to play hard every time the ball's pitched up and the lights are on. So if we're going to just try to narrow it to one thing, that's the first thing we're going to look at. Obviously, the positions and skill and the ability to do certain things on the floor, those are important too. But I want a team that's going to fly around and play hard. I want a team that's going to try to make it as miserable for our opponents as we can make it. That when the people leave the game, and I said this in my press conference, whether they're eating popcorn, drinking a Coke, texting somebody, taking a selfie of themselves, whatever they're doing, and at some point they're going to go, man, that team plays really, really hard. They fly around. They are fun to watch. And so you start with that in recruiting. You build it through your culture and what you do every day. And that's what we're going to try to do with this program that we've done here in the past. It's not something that we're reinventing. It's just something we're going to try to continue to build on and obviously try to do it better and better every year.
And coach, what's good this year is you actually have your guys on campus and touch your guys. So you can really have skill development and player development, because last year you had none of it. You just had to kind of show it up and you kind of starting from behind eight ball almost. So this year you can have ahead of summertime as well. And we're working out there, working on them individually in their drills. You can get them better, because the summertime is when guys get better. So you can come back in the fall and be ready to rock and roll, come out over there.
Yeah. It was a unique year because obviously COVID shut us all down last spring as soon as the season was over. So everybody went home, coaches, players, everybody went home. We didn't get our players back until mid-July, end of July. It was limited because of COVID policies. We could have them, you know, a few hours a day. It got a little bit better through the course of the year. There were, you know, obviously when there's adversity, you try to glean some things out of adversity, you know, that you try to make better. The good thing is that because as coaches, we couldn't be on the road recruiting, we get to be with our players every single day. Little good, little bad, but we touched them, as you said, which is a good point. We got to touch them every day. We had to be around them. We had to invest in them. We had to spend time with them. Within the limited time that each program was allowed to spend with their players because of COVID, we got shut down different times throughout the course, throughout the course of the year, preseason, just like everybody else did. And you know, it could get frustrating a little bit because you'd feel like you were going and then you get shut down, you 10 days here or three or four guys here. So I am looking forward to having our players back, you know, in the summer, back how we did it, being able to get better, being able to be around them every day, being able to build a foundation for what we're going to try to do when the year starts. I'm looking forward to having that opportunity to do that again, because we didn't get that from March till end of July, starting of August. And when we did, it was sort of limited.
Yeah, Coach, I'll tell you, I've not been back to my studio in Midtown Atlanta in over a year, Coach.
Wow.
So yep. I still can't get back to my studio or my office. I'm doing this from my basement here. So I have not been back to my studio since March 14th of last year. Actually, a year and a day long since I've not been back to my studio in my office back in Midtown Atlanta.
Wow. Yeah, it's been a unique year, obviously, you know, and hopefully we learned something from this year and everything we did through COVID, the social justice that I think hopefully we're, you know, sometimes as players, I tell this to our players and other people, you know, as basketball players, you can't get complacent in what you do. We got complacent as a society and a country, and some things happen in our country that shouldn't have happened. And I'm hoping, and my prayer is that we will learn lessons and we will get better. We need to, as a society and a country. So through all the things that have happened this year, hopefully we've been able to take a step back and we've been able to learn that we got to be better. We all got to be better. And we better not repeat the mistakes of the past. So, you know, that's hopefully what I've learned from it. Hopefully we have learned from it, you know, as a whole. And so out of the adversity that we've all had through this past year, hopefully we'll come out of it whenever this ends. And it's not over yet. We got to keep moving forward. We can't get complacent again, that we'll become better from all of what's happened through this year.
And coach, you're right about that. I know me personally, I've definitely grown as a leader, as a host, trying to keep people entertained through while they're doing quarantine, because for me, I was some people's outlet to come to the show, listen to the interviews on the show was their outlet from their life. So having to be, make sure I'm giving people great content, being there for people to find me at least once a week, finding the show to be able to, you know, have some release. So I coach, I know what you mean, trying to have them grow from this. You know, I'm in my 30s, so definitely trying to grow and be better and help others and help the community of Atlanta and Georgia be better as well, coach. I got involved politically with some stuff that I've never done before in my life. You know, I've never been outreaching people to vote or helping people at the polls. I've never done that in my life until this year. So having doing those kind of things, coach, COVID definitely, without COVID, never would have did it. So I say COVID definitely made me better for sure.
No question. I'm hoping that a lot of people did that. And, you know, you're a perfect example. I'm hoping that a lot of people will continue to do those things because of this, you know, and that's, if we can, then we're going to be better. And that's the goal, is we got to be better. We can't stay. The old saying is, you can be on the right track. Your dad's a football coach, so he probably, you can be on the right track. Like my dad was a high school football coach. But if you're on the right track and you're standing still, the train's still going to run you over. You better keep moving forward. So we got it. Now hopefully we can get on the right track again, but we got to keep moving forward. We got to keep going. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that, coach. You know, my dad was a coach. He wanted me going to coaching, but I said, no, I prefer to be on the radio.
You're smart. You're the smartest guy on the team. I can promise you that.
So tell me, coach, at what point did you want to get into coaching? Because I know for me, I just wanted to play and talk about the game. I never wanted to be on the radio. I never wanted to be a coach. I wanted to be on the radio and analyze the game. And because, coach, for me, the losses would tear me up, coach. I couldn't deal with the losses. That's why I couldn't be a coach. But if I coach you do a certain way, you don't do it, I'm going to go crazy. So I knew I couldn't handle that part of the coaching profession. So tell me, when did you get the itch to want to get into coaching? I like your father did. My dad did.
Well, you had the same experience that I did growing up in a coach's house. I didn't know anything different. All I knew was sports. I mean, if we weren't playing it, we were watching it, or we were at games. And so I didn't know any different. And I probably from a very young age, I knew I wasn't a good enough player to play after college. And I wasn't a great college player either, but I knew I wanted to get into coaching. I knew that the competitive nature, that's who I was around growing up. That our friends were coaches. My parents' friends were coaches, families. And so I knew pretty early that I wanted to coach in high school and college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do in coaching. I was going to be a high school coach and be happy. I just wanted to coach basketball. My brother's a high school football coach, so he went a different route. But we didn't really know anything different. We weren't pushed into it. It's just what we did growing up. And so I've been doing it. This is my 35th year of coaching, 34 at the collegiate level, one at the high school level. I coached at every level of college basketball. I've been a junior college head coach for 10 years. I was a Division II assistant. I was an NAI assistant. I was a Division I assistant for I think 17 years, and now I'm a Division I head coach. So I've run the gamut from in the college basketball world of college coaching, and I still love it. You know, I still love seeing our players every day, even more now today. You know, obviously you want to win every game. Pat Riley said, you know, winning is great, losing is misery. And so you want to lose, you want to win every game. But I do think it's more than winning and losing, obviously. I hope that I can impact our players on a daily basis. I hope that when they leave our program, that they're better people, that they have, we have these lifelong relationships, that we can, and that was what was so humbling about this job when I got it last week, were all the former players that spoke on my behalf. It was humbling. And, you know, I hid out for 3 or 4 days because you're trying to get a job and people are calling you. But if a former player or current player called me, I tried to get back to them immediately. And so that's what you want. That's what you want when this is all said and done, that you develop these lifelong relationships with players. And it's hard because not everybody gets to play, you know, and, oh, yeah. You know, but what you got to do is you got to impact those guys. You got to pour into them. You got to tell the truth every day. You got to be transparent. They got to walk out of here whenever they leave our program, knowing that if they didn't know anything, they know how to speak the truth the best they can, whether we like to hear it or not. I went through that as a college player. I was told when I was going into my senior year on a coaching change that I wasn't going to get to play. And nobody had ever told me that before in my life. It was something that it was foreign to me. I mean, what do you mean I don't get to play? Well, we're bringing in our own players, so you're not going to play. And I remember going back to the dorm, calling my dad and saying, Dad, I'm leaving. He goes, okay, well, why are you leaving? I said, well, the new coach told me I wasn't going to get to play. They're bringing in their own players. And he's like, well, are they taking your scholarship? I said, no, sir, they're going to let me have my scholarship because I'm a senior. He goes, okay. He says, well, your mom and I will support you in whatever you want to do. You know, we're in your corner. He says, but let me just tell you something. Nobody owes you anything. So just remember that they don't owe you the opportunity to keep your scholarship. And he goes, where are you going to transfer to? And I said, well, this place recruited me out of high school. And Coach Meyer said I could walk on at Texas Tech. Da, da, da. And he says, well, okay, Greg, I get it. He says, again, your mom and I'll support you, whatever you want to do, but you averaged 8 points a game. And you know, you're probably not going to get a scholarship. So do you like it there? Yes, sir. I like it. Do you have friends there? Yes, sir. When do you graduate? Next summer. Okay, Greg, we'll support you in whatever you want to do. But remember, nobody owes you anything. So when you leave there and you're not going to go back, just there was a town about 2.5 hours from where I lived. And there was a town about 30 minutes from my hometown. And they had a nuclear plant there, and they were building the nuclear plant. And a lot of people were working there. And so my dad told me, he says, look, just stop at the nuclear plant at Brown and Root and get a job, because you're not going to lay around on my couch all summer and you're probably not going to be on scholarship. So you're going to have to help pay for school. But your mom and I really love you and support you. We'll do whatever we want you to do. So I got a life lesson there was, yeah, my parents, yeah, they're going to support me, but things aren't so bad. And so it was a hard lesson and I get it. But you know, when I look back on it, at least the truth was spoken to me. The truth was spoken to me from my new coach. I had to live through a hard year, my senior year, because I didn't play much. And the truth was spoken to me by my father, who said, look, Greg, nothing is given. You know, you have to understand that. And the decisions you make, there's consequences to them. Think them through. We'll support you. We'll love you. But, you know, in other words, you better stay there and get your scholarship. You better stay and get your school paid for and get your degree.
Yes, sir. You got there right.
Yeah. So, I get it. I get kids when we coach them, the frustration. Everybody wants to be the best player. Everybody wants to play. It's just not the reality. So my job is to make sure that regardless of what role they play within our program or our team, and roles change, I know, from year to year, that when they leave here, they understand that nothing is given, that you know that you're going to be loved regardless of whether you play 30 minutes or 10 minutes, and that we put you in the best opportunity to get your degree so that you can have a great life and fulfill your dreams and goals, whatever they may be. But it may not always be the way we planned it. And, yes. And I live that, you know, and if I hadn't lived through that, I wouldn't have as good an understanding of that part of it as I do right now.
And coach, I explain to young men, I talk to young men all the time about me as a ball player, playing basketball rather. Coach, I was a shooter and a defender and a hustler. My game was not offensively sound. I don't have that don't cross over. I can pump fake, get from my 3-point line, shoot a jump or a layup, or get a weak side, shoot a three, and defend like crazy. That's how I played. My dad said, "Son, basketball is not your first sport. You are a wide receiver. That's what you're best at. So when you play basketball, you have to just defend, shoot the three in the weak side. They run at you, pump fake, get to the basket, layup, or shoot a mid-range jumper, because you don't have the handles those point guards do. Just play. That's how you gonna play, son. Baseball. Hey, use your speed. go with the ball. You use speed. You'll play." So my dad's methods work, coach. He told me, just know your limitations in your sports. Know your football player. That's your best. You're a receiver. You're dynamic. But basketball and baseball, you love it, but you're not that good at it. You just do what you got to do to get them to feel the play. So my dad kept it real with me, coach. That's why I accepted my role, whatever sport it was, because my dad told me straight down what my role was going to be and what I could do and couldn't do. And I accepted my talent that I had for those sports. So I try to tell young men all the time, it's okay to be a specialist in something. Some guys are rebounding. Some people are going to shoot threes on the weak side, defend 3-and-D guys. Find your niche on the team, and you'll play if you're good enough to do it.
You're hired. Come on. I got a spot. Come on. You're hired. I need you.
Hey, coach, I'll tell me any day you want me to, coach. I'll tell me every day. I lived it. I lived it. You know, I lived it.
I know. I hear you. But you're telling the right things. And you only know those things through life experiences. And a lot of those life experiences aren't pleasant, you know, and especially in athletics. So, you know, that's what, you know, now you can give wisdom because you've been through it. And hopefully I can do a little bit of the same thing.
Well, coach, thank you for your time today, coach. And I'm going to text you after the show. I'm going to text you my numbers. You have my numbers. And I hope to see you at Georgia State next year when you come to play here in Atlanta. And I hope to see you. And, coach, I'll be neutral because I'm just who I am. I'm neutral, man. I'm going to be neutral. I love you and Rob, man. I like both of you. So I'm going to make sure I shake both of your hands and give both hugs. Hey, I can't lose today, coach. But anybody wins, I win today. So it's all good.
Yeah, Rob's a good guy. I mean, we have some connections. Obviously, Chris Ogden, who left here, who I was working for, he and Rob were at Texas and Tennessee together. One of our other assistants, Riley Davis, worked with Rob. So, Rob, we had great respect for Coach Lanier and what they've done at Georgia State in the last couple of years. And, you know, and there's a lot of coaches in our league that are like that. And, you know, those two nights a year when we pitch it up and get after each other, we're trying to whip each other. But, you know, the other rest of the time, I'm a coach's coach. I root for coaches. So, you know, I want everybody to be successful until they play us. And then other than that, we're all good. So.
I hear that. All right, coach, thank you for your time. Well, they have a great weekend. I enjoyed our chat. We'll do this again real soon, coach. It was really fun, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, shoot me your number. And I'm available anytime.
Thanks, coach. Have a good one. Talk to you soon now.
Yeah. You too, babe. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.